The English word criminal in our gospel reading comes from the New Testament word, which simply means evil doer. Mark's gospel identifies them, these evil doers, as revolutionaries or insurrectionists. They were being crucified, these two, one on the left and one on the right, were being crucified for their crimes against the state. In this case, the Roman authority. We know that the insurrectionists would go into public places. They would conceal their daggers, and they would knife Roman citizens and officials and then run away. You might call these evildoers murderers or simply first century terrorists. They were at their own clandestine war, trying to make a way for the state of Israel to become an independent nation again, free from Roman authority. And their tactic was violent aggression. These two criminals would have witnessed how Barabbas was set free in Jesus' place. They would have seen Barabbas set free instead of Jesus, and the cruel irony of the one who could have been the Messiah, the king to lead them to independence and freedom, but instead another insurrectionist was set free. And this king, who called himself king, sentenced to death. They're crucified in a row, the three of them. Two evil doers with Jesus in the middle, with the sign King of Jews in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. This was so that everyone would get the cruel joke. You are the Messiah, you say? You're the king, are you not? Get off that cross and take us with you. Be the savior from death and oppression that a king is supposed to be. Then a miracle happens. One of the criminals, one of the evildoers, sees and understands who is really going to have the last laugh. This criminal may very well be the first New Testament prophet, preacher, and evangelist, even though a brief ministry, those hours on the cross next to Jesus, it is a highly effective and life-transforming ministry for those of us who continue in the kingdom today. His sermon is followed by a prayer, and one of the clearest messages of grace of all of Scripture. He turns to the criminal that was mocking Jesus, and he says, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." This is a complete message of grace and mercy. He humbly and powerfully points out sin. He is quick to include himself as a sinner. He says, "Guilty as charged." He realizes that he himself was deceived by sin, and he understands that he has been betrayed by a lie, that the kingdom of God will come by violence and human strength. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, Scripture says, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Like the evildoers who will die with Jesus, we have all transgressed God's law, guilty as charged. We have failed to trust God to be our champion the way that He chooses to champion us and win the victory for us. We want to fight our battles our way. Like the insurrectionists, we sometimes impose our concept of justice to those around us. And because of that, we hate, we name call, and we kill. We fail to understand what mercy is because we do not take the condemnation of the law seriously as this insurrectionist now does. Mercy is God withholding what we deserve, namely judgment, punishment, and death, all of which the insurrectionist faces that day. Mercy presumes that we understand the truth of what the criminal says. Do we not fear God, since we're under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed have been condemned justly? But this man has done nothing wrong, he says. That is also the sting of the law. And where this insurrectionist now takes off his ragged garments and dresses himself in the beautiful and clean righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who in every respect has been tested as we have been, yet he is without sin. He is the perfect righteousness of God. He is justice incarnate. He is absolutely righteous. He does not need mercy because he has not been condemned justly. The criminal is preaching against the powers. He has become now a non-violent resistor to the state. He has become a revolutionary by word of mouth to the Roman authority. His words declare Pontius Pilate to be unrighteous and the one who is unjust toward this one who is mocked as king. This criminal being crucified is now holding the authorities accountable to a greater authority, namely Jesus Christ, King of heaven and earth. Now in his defiance against injustice, rooted in the righteousness of Jesus, the one who has done no wrong, he has nothing to lose. They've already taken his life. It's just a matter of time. What more can they do to this criminal? He will speak out and he will raise his voice against a cruel and unjust system. And then the criminal turns to the righteous king and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He likely heard Jesus say just hours before to Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were so, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. This criminal sees, hears, and believes the truth of this Jesus from Nazareth. He is also Christ, the King, Messiah, and Lord of creation. No one can take away his rightful reign. No one can stop or silence his kingship. Not mockery, not the cross, not death. He heard Jesus say from that same cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A king's edict of forgiveness. He heard the king extend his mercy to those who wrongly crucified him. The one wearing the crown of thorns indeed has the power and authority to forgive the most grievous sins. There is a wisdom that comes to this criminal as he stands at the threshold of death and his mortality. The reality of death does not crush him because he knows that when Jesus dies, it's not the end of the story. Death can never be the end of this king. Instead, he will live and reign with Jesus and live out his life and hope in him. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I believe that you are King of heaven and earth. Extend your grace to me as you have extended your mercy. Bring me with you into the fullness of your kingdom. Jesus' response, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It's the assurance of this grace. It's a gift purchased by the blood of Jesus, the King, on the cross. The paradise in the Garden of Eden that was lost by our first parents is now restored by the King today. He has broken the curse of sin and death for us, and he gives our brief lives here joy, meaning, and hope, so that we can also pray and one day, even today, see his kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.